Welcome to those of you worshiping online. So glad to have you with us. I also hear that our chapel is full. So welcome to those of you worshiping in the chapel. We wish we had room for you. One day we're going to be able to have more seats in here, and we will welcome you in here as well. We're in the midst of a series. This is week three. We're on the Lord's Prayer. Are you enjoying this service, this series, the Lord's Prayer? I'm absolutely loving it. Loving the series and the Lord's Prayer. The big idea for the series, we're hitting this one every week, is this one right here. Lord, it's a prayer. Lord, make us a people of extraordinary prayer. That's what we're asking God to do. Make us a people of extraordinary prayer. We're asking God to change us. We're asking God to grow us in this area of prayer as a people and as a church. One of the ways that he does that is through different resources other than God's word or even the teaching of God's word. I want to give you two right now, and to a couple of you, I'm literally going to give it to you. This book right here, Tim Keller's book on prayer, you got to get this one. You can order it online. If you can't order online, you can't afford it, email me, Tyler at CPC Danville, I'll give you a copy because this is an incredible book. I'm going to give this one away. Who wants this book right here, this book on prayer? You got first hand up, first row. I mean, early bird gets the worm right now. Okay. Here's another one. We got another one. Tim Keller sold many books, hasn't sold quite as many books right here, but she is one of our own. Mary Beth McCollum, the director of women's ministries, wrote this book right here. Extraordinary Prayer. This book is incredible. It's an amazing resource. You can get this one online too. And what an awesome thing to have someone, an accomplished author like this in our midst writing. And this will be a blessing to you. Who wants this book right here? I'm going to give it a first hand up. Was right back there. Jim, come on up. Jim, help me. Help me out here, man. I'm just kidding. There you go. Yeah, you got it. She's pumped for that one. You should be. That's a great book. So those two resources, you can get them online or email me. We'll help get you a copy. The reason why we're asking God to do this, make us a people of extraordinary prayer, is we believe that all of us have a desire, even a need, to connect with God in some way. And when Jesus' disciples came to him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. How do we connect with God? Teach us. The most influential religious leader in the history of the world, Jesus, gave us the Lord's Prayer. And so we're going line by line, week after week. And so we do this every time in honor of God's word. Will you please stand and read with us together the Lord's Prayer? We'll put it on the screens for you. Here we go. Our Father in heaven, go back. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay, so we say it, and many of us here know it, and I've heard from several of you that you're memorizing it literally in the midst of this series if you haven't already. But the question we asked last week is, do we really know what we're saying? Like, honestly, prayers like that can be a little bit like ambient freeway noise near our house. We don't really hear it anymore. We can't appreciate what it's really saying. So we're looking at it week by week, again and again. We started in week one. This will be a little bit of a recap for you if you weren't here. Week one, we looked at the first line. That's it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And the words that we focused on that week were the words right here, Father and hallowed. And the word that Jesus used for Father is Abba. This is the New Testament Greek. Abba means dad. So when we're praying to our Father, we're praying to our dad. So I brought my son up here and said, this is the relationship. This is the picture that Jesus is trying to paint for us when we come to our Father, our dad in heaven. But he's also hallowed. Hallowed means sacred, other, holy, to be revered, ultimate. So he's this and he's this. That was week one. Week two, we looked at the next line. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That was last Sunday, Mother's Day. This means literally, let your kingdom happen here on earth. Let your will happen here on earth. And we acknowledged a few things last week. First of all, it's hard. And why is it hard? It's church, so we gotta be honest. It's hard because we're really good at building our own kingdoms. Not necessarily God's kingdom. It's good because we like to rule and reign in our lives. We don't really like God to rule and reign in our lives. We have a resistance to that. That's what we looked at last week. So why is it important? Because that line right here is the heart of the gospel. We find our lives, according to Jesus, when we're willing to lose our lives in him, to submit and surrender our will and the rule and reign of our life to him. And how do we do this? How do we grow in prayer? Well, last week we said the main way is through scripture, reading scripture, memorizing scripture, and seeing Jesus' example in scripture. That was last week. So there's a little bit of a catch up. All these messages are available on demand if you ever need to watch them. This week, the next line, give us today our daily bread. Six words, that's all we're looking at today. Give us today our daily bread. I believe of all the lines, of all the sentences, of all the aspects of the Lord's Prayer, this is the one that we kind of skip over maybe the most. We say it on the way to saying something else. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. And we're on to forgiveness. Oh my gosh, next week, forgiveness. Give us today our daily bread. That's what we're looking at today. Question. I'm gonna ask you a few questions this morning. Is this even relevant anymore? This line. I mean, how many of us have prayed ever, God, give me today a meal to get through the day? I bet almost nobody in here and very few people watching at home have actually prayed, Lord, give me a meal. Give me enough bread today to get me through this day. So is it even relevant? I mean, more likely we pray something like this, Lord, please help me from stop eating. Please help me to stop eating. Like we push back from the table and we go, I'm so full, I'm never gonna eat again. Or we overserve ourselves. Lord, help me with self-discipline. Help me with self-control. I'm eating too much. I'm drinking too much. Give us today, just put that line up there. Give us today our daily bread. So here's the framework for today's message. Just gonna keep it very, very simple. We're gonna look at this phrase right here, this sentence, and he'll be the framework for our message. The first part is this, what does this mean? What does it mean in two ways? Primarily biblically, what does it mean biblically to talk about daily bread? And then we're gonna turn a little bit of a corner and say, what does it look like personally? And we get to the personal piece, we're gonna do something we haven't done in this series yet, first time, and that is in addition to like a series big idea, we're gonna give a big idea just for this message. And it's an action step. It's an action step that we could take, something that you can do. You always say, what do I do with this message? You'll know when we get there. And then if we do it, here's the second half of the message. We're gonna answer this question. Why should we pray this way? Like, what are the benefits? If we do what Jesus is asking us to do, what are the benefits here? And we're gonna look at those in the second half of the message. Okay, first half, big question. What does this mean? What does this mean? Biblically, let's start there. One of the reasons we start there is when there's a question about something that doesn't pop, like what does that really mean? Give us today our daily bread. When there's a question in scripture, the best way to find the answer to what it means is to interpret scripture with scripture. We got a question in scripture, what does the scripture say about scripture? And so when you see a phrase, daily bread, you go back into God's word, and that concept was really introduced back in Exodus chapter 16. For those of you that are familiar with your Bible or God's word, you know that there was a miraculous event in the life of the Israelites, God's chosen people, where they were rescued from slavery in Egypt, and it was called the Exodus. And it was miraculous because God led the Israelites through the parting of the Red Sea, so they got through into this land between Egypt and the promised land that God was calling them to. The Egyptian army got swallowed up, and just a few days into this land between, they began to argue and grumble, and they were hungry, and they complained. And this is where we pick up the story of not just God's miracle of the Exodus, but his provision of daily bread. Exodus 16 at verse 11, God's word says this, the Lord said to Moses, I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight, you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost. I love that phrase, and I learned this week. This is where we get frosted flakes, people. They're not from Tony the Tiger. Thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For those of you familiar with scripture, if you're not, this is so great because we get to learn this stuff together. The word for that bread we come to learn is manna, God providing the manna from heaven. And manna, translated in the Hebrew, which is the language of the Old Testament, literally means this right here: what is it? They didn't know what it was, for they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." This is the first and most literal example of daily bread, manna. This, what is it? But there was a condition. There was one condition. And it's worth noting at this point, when Jesus says, "Give us today our daily bread," why didn't he say weekly? Why didn't he say monthly? Why didn't he say annually? Why didn't he say twice a year, Christmas and Easter? Come and get what you need and then come back. Because he wants the daily opportunity to provide. And so here is the one condition for the Israelites there. They couldn't keep it. They couldn't store it up. They could just take enough for the day. The goal was to provide and to teach daily dependence, to grow in trust in God as their provider. So that's the biblical precedent. Let's turn a corner now and look at it from a personal angle. It's so easy to forget or resist trusting God to meet our personal, basic, daily need. Here's another question I just posed to you. With all of our abundance, talked about this a little bit last week, with all of our abundance, isn't it almost disingenuous a little bit to pray to God for daily bread? I mean, we've all probably had the experience where we open up a nearly full fridge and we say or think, or maybe we say it out loud, "I guess there's nothing to eat." Or we've opened up an almost full closet and we've thought or said out loud, "I just got nothing to wear." So what is the phrase, "Give us today our daily bread"? It's this right here. This is a petition. This petition is a declaration of dependence. It's a declaration of dependence. Now, let me just tell you something about us. We love the declaration of independence. We love to raise children who stop being dependents, amen? Tax season. And grow up to be independent. We love independence, especially as Americans, but for the believer in Christ, for the Christian, for the Christ follower, the goal here is to say, "God, I trust you to meet my daily basic needs." Now, at our core of our being, we either trust God or we trust ourselves. It really comes down to that. So here's another question I'll put on the screen for you. In whom are you placing trust for your basic needs? Because when we engage at this at a personal level, we go, "Man, Pastor, I pay my bills. I write the checks. The auto payment for my child's tuition comes out of my bank account. My name's on the mortgage statement." So what is Jesus getting at when right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, he says, this is what you should pray: "Give us today our daily bread"? If you're a note taker, here's the big idea for this week. This is it right here. He's saying, it is good for us to declare our daily dependence on God. This is a good thing for us, church. It's a good thing for us, beloved, to declare our daily dependence upon God. Now, one of the things that was such a struggle for all of us over this last year, 2020, was feeling like we were living one day at a time, one decision at a time, one communication rollout at a time. I look back over this last year and I would go, man, for sure, it was the hardest year of my life as a leader. I talked to you about this in front of our church, and even when we weren't meeting and just meeting online, I was going, man, I've never led through a pandemic, and it was at times paralyzing. There were lots of times where I was just like, I have no idea what to do. We had to make decisions about cutting budget. We took salary cuts. We reduced staff positions. We did all these types. There was pressure to make all these different decisions. We're going to open. We're going to remain closed. Oh, how long is this right? All these pressure to make wise decisions. You guys are leaders. You're leading families. You're leading businesses. There's pressure in that. And at times for me, it was like, it was paralyzing. And especially the first 6 months. And so people come up to me, if I haven't seen you in a while, I saw several of you who are today, who you're like, this is our first time back in church in over a year. Now that first interaction with people, the two most common questions that I'm getting from people, the first one is a personal one. Hey, how are you? How are you doing? I appreciate that. The one that comes most commonly on the heels of that one was like, how was this last year for you? Or what was the biggest lesson you learned in the last year? For me, it was like, man, that especially that first 6 months, I felt like I was like humbled and reduced really into a position where I was like on my knees going like, Lord, I have no idea what to do. And so I literally need you to lead me and lead us. Like I need you to speak. It needs to be clear. I need my, in essence, I need my daily bread from you. And ready for this? For many of those months, that was a fight. That was hard. But here's what I sense God was saying, especially about the six-month mark, crossing from the six-month to the seventh-month of the pandemic. I felt like Jesus was going like, where you are right now, on your knees, hands open, dependent upon me, in some cases, desperate to hear from me. Jesus was like this, you're right where I want you. This is the way to lead. This is the way to live. Fully dependent daily upon him. Is it fun? No, but it's good for you. Is it comfortable? No, but it's good for you. Is it humbling? Yes, which is good for you. But about halfway through the year, something happened that I truly appreciate. I literally thank God for it often. And that is that dependence daily on God for his leadership and lordship even in my life was, ready for this? Liberating. There was freedom in that. I was like, Lord, we'll move when you tell us to move. We'll move how you tell us to move. It was recentering for me. I was thinking this last week. Just thinking about 2020 gives us a little bit of the heebie-jeebies and just that, it's just, ugh. So many aspects that we didn't like. For context, that was 1 year. The Israelites daily depended on God for that bread, that manna, for 40 years. Can you imagine? But it is good for us to declare our daily dependence upon God. That's what it means. Give us today our daily bread. Let's look at the second question. Why should we pray this way? Like, if we take Jesus at his word, what do we get? What are the benefits? I'm gonna give you three. Here's the first one if you're a note taker here or at home. You're gonna experience a healthy perspective. What do I mean by that? Your perspective on life, on your issues, on what you're asking God for, on your prayer life, your relationship to him is going to be healthy. And the reason we see this is, look at the context of where this comes from in the Lord's Prayer. Let's look at the three verses we've looked at so far. This may seem like, well, obviously, Tyler, but just think about this for a minute. Bear with me. You come to verse 11, which is what we're looking at today, after coming through and praying through verse 9 and verse 10. So on the way to the ask, give us today our daily bread, we've already established through prayer in this relationship with God, we're praying to our dad. We're praying to someone who's to be hallowed. We're praying to someone who is to be revered, who is the ultimate person and presence in our life. And then secondly, we've submitted to him. We've surrendered to his will. It's thy will, not my will. It's thy kingdom come, not my kingdom come. So when we get to give us today our daily bread, we already have a healthy perspective. This is what's so cool about how Jesus lays this out. When he gets there, you have a confidence of a child coming to a good dad. You have the power of someone who is to be revered, who is hallowed, who is ultimate, who is working on your behalf. You have the peace that comes from knowing that his kingdom is coming. His will is being worked out. To put it another way, kind of a modern term, you've heard the term coming in hot. How many of you have used that term recently? Coming in hot. Now, a lot of us use it as like we're late, but sometimes we use it in like a great way. Like we are so ready for what we're coming to. We're prepared. We're ready. We're excited. Maybe you're going to a party or you're seeing your friends or dinner, or like you're texting your buddy, coming in hot, man. At this point in the Lord's Prayer, you get to verse 11 after verse 9 and 10, coming in hot. You're centered. You have a healthy perspective. To illustrate, I'll say this. How many people here have a washing machine? Raise your hand if you have a washing machine. Keep your hand up if any time in the recent past you've had to replace your washing machine. Isn't that a pain? We had to do that recently, and I was like, man. And I'm talking to the sales guy. I finally, there's so many choices. Finally, I just asked, the Lord just put this question on my heart. I'm like, this is the question. I got to know this guy, you know, sharing stories a little bit. And it turns out he's a father of three boys. I go, let's just stop right now. You work here, you get a discount. Which washing machine do you have? And he walks right over, he goes, I have this one. I'm like, give me that right now. So and that's the one that we have. But I was kind of annoyed that we had to get, he goes, well, you know, you can expect to get 5 to 7 years out of a washing machine. And I began to think, I don't know about you, when I grew up, I swear, we had the same washing machine my entire childhood. Anybody else have this experience? It's like, this is like a planned obsolescence thing. Like, it blows my mind. Like, what happened? We had the same one, and it was old school. It was right there. But it let us know, just like ours did, it let us know when it was time to be replaced. And you know the sound? And what happens? Here's what happens. The laundry starts to pile up on one side of the tub. And then as it piles up and goes fast, it starts to make that sound like dun, 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 dun. And it sounds like it's thundering, it's bouncing off walls. It reminds me of, and this is gonna date me because it came out in 1983, I was 9 years old. There's a quick little scene in the movie Mr. Mom where like the laundry thing is going, I mean, just take a look at this right here. It's just, this is what it looks like. And it's just banging off of walls and it's causing all sorts of damage. And here's what happened. All that's wrong is the laundry is not centered around the middle. It's just off center. Question. How many of us at any point in our life have, from a spiritual standpoint, have just felt off center? I'm off. What Jesus is teaching, what other commentators have shown, that one of the best ways to find out if you're off center in your spiritual life is through your unanswered prayers. Unanswered prayers. Here's what Tim Keller says about our unanswered prayers. Unanswered prayer is one of the best ways for you to get to know who you are. I'll give you a couple examples. For instance, if you have a prayer that you, hey, Lord, I'm bringing it to you. I'm on my knees. And it goes unanswered and unanswered and unanswered. And you find yourself going, well, you're my Heavenly Father, and so you know what's best. And I'm the child. You're Lord and you're in control and I'm not. So I'm just gonna sit here waiting and I'm gonna sit here trusting If you find that to be your attitude, you're centered. That's a healthy perspective. Conversely, if in the midst of unanswered prayer, and I find this in my own life sometimes, you find like you have this inner little dialogue going on, like, what is going on, Lord? Like, what are you doing? Like, how could this be how you're answering this? Or maybe, and this is probably the most telling one, and I'm guilty of this sometimes, you think this, why am I even praying? Seriously, what's the point anymore? Clearly not doing something. If that's your attitude, if that's my attitude, this is the Lord lovingly reminding us your laundry is off center. You need a healthy perspective. So Jesus says, you come into this part of the Lord's Prayer, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom, your will, not my kingdom, my will. Give me today my daily bread. It's a healthy perspective, a healthy perspective. Here's the second thing you get. The hope of provision. The hope of provision. How many of you have prayed, give us today our daily bread, listen to me, church, and you actually meant it? Like, God, I just want my bread for today. That's it. We don't pray like that very often. But we pray, if we're honest, most of us, if God gave us just what we needed for just today, imagine if all you had was for today, we would be very, very angry with God. What we really are asking for when we pray, give us today, we want enough for today, we want enough for tomorrow, we want enough for next week, we want enough for next month, we want enough to eat out. Maybe you have a kid like this, like we do in our house. You just want to eat every meal out. You cannot do that. It's too expensive. But Lord, just provide enough to do that, or more likely, give us enough money, give us enough friends, give us cushion to be in. Here's the word we love, comfortable. Lord, I'm not greedy here. I just want to be comfortable. I want to be comfortable now. I want to be comfortable in retirement. We're not praying, give me what I need for today. But Jesus is reminding us, when we say, give us our daily bread, he's reminding us, remember where your provision comes from. The psalmist puts it this way, Psalm 121. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Another stop in the wisdom literature. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 and 9. This one stopped me in my tracks this week. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who's the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. How many of us honestly have prayed, Lord, whatever you do, do not make me rich. That's not what we pray. Because I would disown you. Or do not make me poor, because I would dishonor, I would steal. No. This prayer is, give me only my daily bread. This is a picture of the hope of provision that we have in God. One more thing to say about bread before we get to this third point that I think is important to mention. Daily bread is food. It is food. It is sustenance. But it's not just food. It's a more holistic idea of bread here in Jesus and in Scripture. Martin Luther said it this way, everything necessary for the preservation of this life is bread, including food, a healthy body, good weather, house, home, a good marriage, children, good government, peace, end quote. All of that is the bread that we look to God to provide for. It's good to declare. We're daily dependent upon you, God, for all of that. James, half-brother of Jesus, chapter 1, verse 17, says everything good, every good gift in our lives is a gift from the Father in heaven. You need wisdom to make a decision? That's a gift from him. You need strength for a relational struggle? That's a gift from him. You need perseverance to handle a problem? That's a gift from him. We come to God because he has the hope of provision, and he passes that to us. Here's the third thing, and we'll wrap up with this. The heart of a parent. you experience the heart of a parent. Could not get away. I can't get away from, over the last few weeks, the way that Jesus, studying the Lord's Prayer over and over, the way that Jesus starts the prayer. Our Father. Father. Our Father. Dad. I was thinking, when any one of my three boys, and you can think about this if you're a parent or a grandparent, when they come to me and they're hungry and they ask for bread, something to eat, guess what they are 100% convinced that I'm going to give them? Bread, something to eat. And I'm an imperfect father. Jesus literally teaches this a chapter and a half later. Matthew chapter 7, he says this, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or your daughter, if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? No, if you then, though you are evil," like compared to God, we're evil. We have a sinful nature. "If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" This phrase right here rocked my world this last week. How much more? We come to God, we're coming to the heart of a perfect parent. No parent is here and perfect. We beat ourselves up. We're not a perfect parent. All these mistakes. Am I making a mistake? Am I doing the right thing? We're coming to a perfect heavenly Father. We get it right a lot of times as parents. You get it right. You're great parents. How much more is God a perfect heavenly Father? And here's the concept that he just had me meditating on this week in particular. He's just faithful. Amen? Our God, our Heavenly Father is faithful. Like he gives us what we need. We come to him with any prayer request. He's always answering prayer. I believe that. God always answers our prayer. Amen? How about you going, "Well, I don't know about that, Pastor, because there's a bunch of prayers that I'm not getting answered." I go, "Really?" He always answers prayer. Tim Keller says this, we'll wrap up with this quote, "God gives you what you would have asked for if you knew all that he knows." This is how God answers our prayers as a perfect heavenly Father. We get the heart of a parent. So when your child comes to you with a request that you know is not good for him or for her because you can see beyond what they can see, you don't grant every one of those requests, but it's still an answer. So I was thinking, Lord, what's the right way to wrap up this service? And the more I meditated and thought about, he's just faithful, he's faithful, he's faithful. You know how we're gonna wrap up the service before we have a short meeting? We're gonna sing together, "Great is thy faithfulness." Will you stand with me right now, church? We're gonna sing to God about his faithfulness, and it's gonna make him smile. Shane, Dimitri, will you lead us? And sing it like you mean it, church.
Come on, let's sing it together. "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever. Come on, let's lift our hands together. We say, "Great is thy faithfulness." We sing, "Great is thy faithfulness." Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And all I have needed thy hands have provided. Great is thy Come on, with our hands we sing. We sing, great is thy faithfulness. Oh yes, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Chorus together, we say, and great is thy faithfulness. We lift our hands, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all I have pleaded thy hand.
Church. God is so faithful. His faithfulness is so great. Let's pray. You're already standing. Let's pray. We'll be on our way. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the chance to come to you, to worship you, to make much of your name, Jesus. What an amazing way to close a service. Just singing about your faithfulness, which is so great in our lives. Thank you for answering our prayers in a way that we would ask for them if we knew what you knew. God, if we need an adjustment in our heart, in our attitude, in our prayer life, if our laundry is off center, by your grace, by your Spirit, in a compassionate way, in a loving way, but in a powerful way, would you change us? Would you make us a people of extraordinary prayer? Would you remind us it is good for us to declare our daily dependence upon you? God, would you give us today our daily bread? We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.